Are you ever in for a treat today when you hear me interview Dr. Craig Nathanson? I'm not going to tell you anymore. You got to listen in to hear his wonderful passion and his stories about helping other people, and maybe it will help you. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'm Gabbin Gale, and this is a Gale Foley Show where I interview people sharing their success stories and their passion, inspiring you on your journey to success. And in between interviews, I'll share motivational moments, always cheering you on as you achieve your mission. So be sure to subscribe to my channel, The Gale Foley Show, and hit me up on Twitter at Gale Foley, hashtag Gabbin Gale. So speaking of Gabbin, let's get on with it.
Today, I am honored to be bringing Dr. Craig Nathanson to you. Craig is a college lecturer, a motivational speaker, author, and coach for midlife adults. He is the author of 5 books, including his most recent, Joyful Work in Midlife, The 5 Stages, and The Best Manager, Getting Better Results with People. Before, however, I introduce my guest, I want to share with you how I actually met Craig. We actually crossed paths in 2004 online when I was transitioning from one thing to another thing, and he asked to do a story about me, and I was so excited because it was a transitioning experience, and he is known as a vocational coach. And so it was an incredible feeling for me to be featured. And then fast forward, just a few months ago, I get an email from him talking about another venue that he's doing that's approaching a little older population. So let's truly honor my guest here, Craig. Craig, how are you today?
Hi, Gail. I'm fantastic. Just enjoying the 70-degree sunny weather here in Northern California. I'm about, 40 minutes north of San Francisco.
Ah, oh, I'm so jealous. I have a daughter in San Francisco, and I keep telling my husband, we have to get out there, and he just rolls his eyes. He's not much of a traveler, but I would definitely enjoy being out there. I think it's a fascinating place to live. So how long have you lived out there?
You know, most of my life, all of my life, I've been here in the San Francisco Bay Area, although, you know, like we've spoken, I travel all over the world, but I love it here. It's just a great, great environment, and it's kind of central to everything.
Well, it's also got to be a very stimulating environment for you.
I mean, a lot of ideas, a lot of creative people. I'm close to Silicon Valley, close to the wine country, and I love it here. Also, I'm a runner, so there's a lot of nice trails to run around here.
Oh, as long as you're not running uphill. Those hills are brutal. Do you run up those hills?
Yeah, it's good. It's good for you.
Oh, I bet. Man, my hamstrings would be screaming just thinking about it.
Well, that's the secret in life, to be uncomfortable and then get comfortable and then get uncomfortable again, right?
Yes, it is. So let's talk a little bit. You just didn't wake up one morning and say, okay, this is what I'm going to be. How did you, what's the past of your life that sort of led you to your own transition?
Mm-hmm. You know, I spent over 20 years in corporate America, in senior management
uh-huh.
positions. I went through the whole internet .com phase. And, you know, I was successful. I had all the trappings of what society would consider successful. You know, a lot of money, good office, a lot of staff working for me, big title. But deep inside, I was empty because I just couldn't figure out, you know, what my contribution was doing to planet Earth. And on top of that, after all these years, I started to notice that the people around me, Gail, were just like robots. You know, they came to work with one mask, and it seemed like they took off their mask when they left work. And I started to think about how come it seems like no one likes their job.
Yeah.
And so I decided, and that put me on a 20-year research path of trying to understand specifically midlife. You know, what happens to people, you know, pretty much after 40 with regards to their life and their work. And so, but anyway, my own path started from just a deep curiosity about why is it that people, especially in the middle part of their lives, really don't seem to like their work.
Yeah, it's more than a 7-year itch. It's like a 40-year itch that sort of shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, and that, you know, it doesn't start this phenomena in my research. It doesn't really start for people until they're in their, you know, 35 plus. Because in the first, between 20 and 35, you're building what's called ego, and you're, you know, this is how it works. You get out of college, you take anything you can because you want the money.
Yeah.
And you get your first apartment and you start buying stuff, and then you get into debt, and then you realize I'm in debt, so I better work harder, so I need a promotion. And then the cycle just keeps going until you hit, you know, I call it a midlife crusade, but a midlife crisis between the ages of 35 and 43. And for most people, they go through divorce or layoff or financial calamity or an illness or just this angst at night about, is this all there is in my life? So when that happens, you know, people start to no longer enjoy their work. And so I became curious to study this.
So you studied it, and then you decided to hang the shingle out that said vocational coach. And how did you actually transition into that you started attracting people and helping them?
Well, you know, I walked away. I absolutely walked away from six-figure-plus income job. I left all the trappings of success to follow my bliss. And, you know, it wasn't hard. I mean, it wasn't easy. You know, two weeks after leaving corporate America, I gave a talk on how to find your passion at a roast beef restaurant in San Jose. I was supposed to speak, and I had written my first book, Pizza for Perfect, and there was a picture of me, and I went out to speak, and there was nobody in the room.
Oh, no.
About 20 minutes, yeah, I started to leave, and this little 80-year-old woman shuffled in, her roast beef sandwiches, you know, dripping on her white blouse, her pantyhose was falling down, and she said, are you going to give a talk? I said, ma'am, I'm really sorry, there's no one here. She says, well, I'm here, and my husband just died. I lived down the street, and I saw this entertainment. I was hoping you would talk to me, and I thought, so I talked to her for 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. At the end, she gave me a kiss and said, you've made my day. And at that point, I said to myself, I think this was what I was meant to do. And
absolutely.
Imagine if I had just gotten up and walked away. And so that started me down the road of, you know, marketing myself as someone who's going to help people specifically figure out their life and work, you know, after 40.
And so you started on the Internet, because that's where you and I cross paths.
Yeah, I was an early, what's the term? I mean, I was an early leader. I had the first, I think, online community at the Vocational Coach for people over 40 back in 2000.
Yeah.
One.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, you know, I built it from scratch. I wrote a book, started to write articles. I started to give talks. I gave free talks twice a week, anywhere I could talk, and mostly nobody came, or two people.
Lots of practice.
In a library, and to three people, and in the middle of my talk, a mother grabs her daughter to try to find some books right in the middle of my talk. I gave a talk once to like 10 people, and one person, I think he was like homeless, and he raised his hand and said, excuse me, after your talk, can you give me a ride home? I can tell you so many stories. But I didn't give up because I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do what I was meant to do, and eventually it'll work out, and it did. So.
Well, it's obvious that you're very passionate about it, and you've helped a lot of people. So you've written 5 books, and so let's talk about Joyful Work in Midlife, the 5 Stages. Can you share a little bit more about your book?
I mean, this is my most academic work. I've studied for 20 years the intersection of midlife and work. So what happens to people you know, south of 40 with regards to their work. And so this book, I went through all of the research in the last 100 years that have been written on career and work, and I summarized it for people to understand what, you know, the experts have said. And then, of course, along the way, I've added my own views and questions and exercises. So it's part academic, it's part a lot of exercises for people. And I interviewed people who have gone from, you know, just a job that, frankly, they didn't like anymore, in fact, they hated, to work that, you know, they could do for the rest of their lives. And so in my book, I share the stories of 8 people that, you know, went through this transition and came out the other side, you know, with an authentic life. And so the book combines both my research and my own thoughts, exercises, and the stories of 8 real people who have done this.
Wow, so you also coach individuals, is that correct?
I have a private practice, phone or Skype. I have clients all over the world. I work with them, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And the idea is to help them figure out, A, you know, who are they and what they want to do, and then creatively help them get there. And so it's very rewarding work.
Is it really, I think this is something that a lot, I encounter this all the time. You see it all over the internet. What is my purpose? So is that sometimes a real monumental hurdle for you to help people find their purpose if they're very vague themselves?
Yeah, that's where people get stuck. I mean, if you do a search on Amazon, you'll probably find 1,000 books on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I help people figure out where do they want to make a contribution in their life. You know, where is it that right now you have the most energy to make a contribution, either in your local community or in the world? You know, what drives you? And then from that, to come up with a pseudo-purpose statement, because any purpose statement will start to drive you to the next level in this 10P model I have, which is looking at your what I call what you prize, you know, what do you value most? And so once you have just a sense of where you want to make a contribution in the world, whatever it is, that starts to drive your roadmap for the rest of your life. And, of course, if you don't know where you're going, you know, any roadmap.
You're not
going
to get there.
It's important to have a roadmap. So purpose is very esoteric, and yet it's very important.
Do you find that a lot of people don't believe they have any value and that that's part of their struggle is they have all this life experience and they have all this passion, all this desire, but they lack the fact that they have value, that their confidence isn't there in what they have to share with the world?
Yeah, and Gail, most people in my experience, are out there seeking approval for what they want to do before they actually do it. Over a collection of years, you know, our self-esteem has taken a big hit, especially in the world of work. We typically do things for all the wrong reasons, not because we enjoy our work. And so I think it's hard for people to take that first step. And usually it takes a crisis, but I usually work with people after their first crisis. But it doesn't have to take a crisis. You know, you could start to think clearly and deeply about what it is that, where do I want to make a difference in the world, and how do I also make, you know, the income that I require to do that.
Do you think that the people that come to you, do you think that they have an entrepreneurial spirit, or they're just very discouraged where they're at and very heartbroken? I mean, sitting in a cubicle, I think, has got to be crushing, but there's also, I meet people that, you know, their whole dynamics of anything that they do is getting the almighty dollar, which, you know, ultimately that's what we're all seeking because that's how we survive. But then I meet other people, like silly me, I'm an entrepreneur and I jump off a cliff and know that I'll land, not exactly how I'll land, but, you know, there's other people that do have more of an entrepreneurial bent to them. Do you have sort of a mix coming to you?
I would say, first of all, I recommend these days that everyone should have at least 3 or 4 different streams of income. So even if you have a full-time job, you should create a product or service that you sell, you know, for $1 to one person on Sunday. Start to multiply that. So I think most people, I recommend that is a strategy these days here in 2018. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, most people come to me disillusioned by their work, and they're intrigued by the idea of being able to have more autonomy, more flexibility in what they do. And that you know, they don't think of themselves as an entrepreneur, but they do think of themselves as somebody who has a lot more to offer, and they do feel trapped by their 8-to-5 routine and would like something new. And so most of the people I work with do end up moving towards doing a variety of things. Maybe they work part-time on Tuesday and Thursday, and they own their own company on Monday, and they're a contractor for somebody else, and so on.
Uh-huh. So you sort of help lay out a complete game plan for people so that they have that security blanket and that safety net and still get out there and transition into some of those desires to give more back.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all need a roadmap for the rest of our life, and I try to enable people to come up with a plan that enables them to do what they love forever until they stop breathing. You know, the idea of retiring just doesn't make sense anymore.
Well, I think it's very sad when I encounter people that they are in a job simply because that they believe that's their only avenue and don't look outside of their box. And so with your books, with your online presentations and what have you, are you able to help sort of slap people silly and say, hey, wake up, this is your only life, you need to be going out there and living with passion?
Yeah, there's an exercise I do with people, which is I ask them to think about, you know, their idea of a perfect vocational day, which they could live over and over for the rest of their life. In other words, what time would you get up in the morning? What time would you go to sleep? Who would you be with? What would you do? Focused around your work. So you design your day in two-hour increments. And once I get people to do that, they're really, really excited. And I say, okay, now let's come up with a plan to close the gap between, you know, where you are now and where you want to be. So that's the idea, is to first come up with this vision of what a perfect day focused around your work would be. And then it's this creative exercise to figure out how to get there.
Wow, that's an awesome exercise. I think that's something that would open a lot of people's minds. I mean, I could sit here and I just see it right now. I'm on the beach with the ocean at my feet, and I'm on my laptop doing my podcast. But yes, that's an incredible way to help people, because so many people they're not really aware, I think, that there are choices out there, because they've been in one place for so long. And, you know, I live in a town right now where we're dumping jobs like people dump their dishwasher water. I mean, it's just terrible, because we're in an aircraft community manufacturer, and I keep telling people that they have more to offer the world than putting that screw on that wing nut or whatever it is. And I've only really met one person that says, okay, yeah, I'm going to go do something different. So are you able to sometimes pinpoint a particular area that needs more of your services, or are you just at the point in your career where people come to you and say, hey, come to talk to us?
No, I think people come. There's three categories of people that I see, Gail. One is the person that just, you know, they cannot stand. They hate their work, and they'll do anything to figure out what to do next. But at the same time, they don't have any idea about their values, what's important to them, their passions. You know, so with them, it's you know, we work together on some deep, deep reflection to figure out who are you,
mm-hmm.
And what do we do next. Then there's a second group of people that absolutely know what they want to do, but they're afraid to quit their job, they're just afraid to jump with both feet in to follow their passion of painting or whatever it might be.
Mm.
But this type of client, I help them to try things, to have courage to try. So it's a creative exercise. This client might not need so much of the deep reflection exercises. And there's a third mm-hmm. client that says, look, I've been in this job for 30 years. I just got laid off. I'm so depressed. And I have no tolerance for pop psychology and for self-assessments and creativity. I just need another job.
Mm-hmm.
That person is the hardest person to work with, because they what they're really saying is, I need a new life. I need a new life focused around my work that I can really enjoy. And so that person, I think, is the most challenging for me. And for that person, I like this perfect vocational day exercise, because it just moves them forward to the, you know, it gets a vision in front of them and moves them through this depression pretty quickly.
Very cool. That, you know, everything that you've done, of course, when you have these conversations with people, you've been there, you've done that, so you walk your talk. So, you know, you have people come to you, I'm sure, that are very skeptical and think, well, yeah, how can this guy help me? But then you start walking through these very profound exercises. I'm sure they pretty quickly figured out you can help them. And speaking of helping, how many people have you helped? Have you kept track?
I only work with 10 or 15 people at a time over a period
okay.
of time. So, so I don't dilute myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing this since 2001, so... we could do the math. I mean, it's a, you know, I don't know what the number is actually. I would say 300, 400, 500 people in various, you know, from hourly sessions to multi-month sessions. I mean, I actually don't keep count. I work with lots of people.
That's awesome. And then you travel a lot. You've been over to Vietnam, so you've got all sorts of travels going on, correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm an educator. I do a bunch of workshops classes and things in Europe and in Asia right now, and of course here in the U.S. So those are my three markets: China, Vietnam. Spend about 4 months a year there, as well as my work in Europe and here in the U.S.
Oh, very cool. Well, we're almost out of time, so I want to make sure that you give your contact information, because I know there is somebody listening that can use your services like right now. So how can people contact you? What websites, what books, what would you like to share with everybody?
Well, I think if you want to learn more about my work in terms of midlife and career, please visit thevocationalcoach.com. And if you'd like to learn about how to become a better leader of yourself and other people, you can visit my second online community at thebestmanager.com. And feel free to email me always at craig@thevocationalcoach.com. And my office phone number is 707-775-4020.
All right, very cool. And for our listeners that may be driving or exercising and couldn't jot this information down, you can find all of Craig's information on my website, thegailfoleyshow.com. You'll also find the podcast recording there if you want to revisit it. And also, please help Craig get in front of more people by sharing this interview through your social media. That's how we help grow each other's business. Craig, do you have any wise wisdom to leave us with?
I just think, you know, I wake up in the morning and ask yourself, you know, what am I grateful for today? And isn't it great that? And do you realize that? Which will start the process towards re-envisioning a new life, creating a new life focused around your work and your passions. There's so many opportunities out there. We just have to believe in ourselves a little bit more. And, hey, I'm all of you that are listening, I'm cheering you on each step of the way.
Oh, thank you so much, Craig. This has been an incredible interview. I appreciate your time. And if you'd like to say bye-bye, we can do that right now.
All right, Gail. Listen, thanks a lot for having me. It's my pleasure to contribute to your work.
You.
And thank you so much, and I hope you have a passionate day.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to tuning in and listening to Gabbin' with Gail, and I will see you on the next podcast. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. And thank you, Craig.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I just wanted to add this quick PS on here. I wanted to tell you, first of all, thank you so much for being a follower and a listener. I so appreciate you. So I haven't said it in a while. I want to say it now. And I also want to give you a heads up on the fact that I have transitioned the GailFoleyShow.com to WordPress blog posting program that allows me to actually host and post my show right there. So now you can go right to that page. You don't have to go to another page to see the guest information. It's all right there encompassed with the recording. So if you're following me on here, I wanted to let you know that in about 20 days, I will be completely transitioned over. So if you want to keep following me, I really would love for you to go over to that page, subscribe. If you're an iTunes follower, I will be posting a new iTunes feed here very quickly. Part of the reason is I want to brand myself as Gabbin' with Gail or Gabbin' Gail. And in order to do that, I had to transfer over, transition, get a little bit more professional with how I'm presenting this. And it's all to your benefit because now you only have to go to one place to hear me, to hear the shows, to hear the interviews, to get their information, to find out what resources I'm using. So please, please, please. If you want to continue following me, and I so hope you do, that's what's going on. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that if you come in here and you don't see any more new shows, that's because they're all on my new platform. So just go over to thegailfoleyshow.com and you won't miss a thing. And thank you again. You have no idea how much you've made my life very special and how much I so appreciate you. I can't put it into words. That's all I can tell you. I just cannot say it enough. Thanks. All right. That's a wrap on today's show. Remember, let's connect on Twitter at Gail Foley, hashtag Gabbin' Gail. And remember, you can visit thegailfoleyshow.com to subscribe to my channel so you won't miss a single inspirational moment. And please remember to share this with all your social media connections so that we can spread the word on something that might help someone else in their journey to success. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Gabbin' Gail asking you to do me one big favor. Pass on a smile today. It's contagious, you know. You'll make a difference in someone's life. Bye-bye.